Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for a living.
What a great Savior we have. Don't you love Him tonight? I love the Lord with all of my heart. And one of the greatest, I guess, and most important thing in a person's life is to come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. There are a lot of things that we aspire to do in life, and some people aspire to be famous, and some people aspire to be rich, and some people want to have other goals in life and have set other goals in life. But you know what the truth of the matter is, that when you come down to the end of the way, the final question that will be asked is, are you saved? The Lord's not going to say, how much money did you make in your lifetime? He's not going to say, how educated are you? And education is important. And thank God for people who are educators and who have been educated. Thank God. But God is not going to ask you at the end of the way, what kind of education you have. He's not going to ask you how famous or maybe infamous. He already knows that. But he's not going to ask you how famous you became in life or what kind of fortune you amassed. Maybe you have houses on every street corner and automobiles in your garage. And some are collectors and have some old automobiles. And that's okay, but the Lord's not going to say, how many automobiles have you collected in your lifetime? He's going to ask one question, are you saved? Have you come to know Christ as your personal Savior? And in my lifetime, I've had to conduct a lot of funeral services, and we've all been to those, and we don't like to go, and I wish that we didn't have to go, but it's part of life as well. There's a time to be born, and there's also a time to die. And so if you know the Lord, dying is not a bad thing. It can be a glorious thing, because to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. But I've been to a lot of funerals in my lifetime, and the most important question that has ever been asked at that moment is this person saved and ready to meet the Lord? I remembered a little illustration that was given one time, and there were these two mean men. I mean, they were rascals. They were just as bad as anybody could be. I mean, they were terrible. And one of them died. And so the one that was living, the brother that lived, went to the pastor and said, look, if you can preach my brother's funeral and just say to everybody that he was a great man and so forth, and I'll give you $10,000 for your church. And so the pastor thought about that, and he thought, how in the world can I get up and tell everybody this was a good man? Because everybody in this town knows he's a scoundrel. He's mean. He's hateful. He's whatever you want to call him. He is that. And it finally dawned on him what to do. And so the funeral day came, and the pastor got up, and he began to say about this man that had passed away, you know, he was this and he was this and he was this, and actually he was telling all the bad things about him. But when he got to the last of it, he said, but I just want you to know, compared to his brother, he was a saint. And so I hope he got the $10,000. I want Jane to come up. I want her to help me tonight. Isn't she lovely? I'm going to do my best tonight not to pick on her, because sometimes I do pick on her a little bit and use her as an illustration. But she's a great illustration, and I've asked her to help me a little bit tonight. I want you to stand one more time. There's an old song that I want her to lead us in tonight, and I want us just to worship the Lord one more time in song. And I want you to let this be the expression of your heart tonight. Would you do that? Sing it with her.
All of you know it. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same as his lovely name. That's the reason why I love him so. For Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And if you didn't know it, maybe you know it now, so let's do it again. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same as his lovely name. That's the reason why I love him so. For Jesus is the sweetest name I know.
Would you just lift your hands right where you are one more time? And would you just tell him out of your own heart, by your own words, just tell him how much you love him tonight. Amen. Lord, we love you and praise you tonight, for your name, Lord, is above every name, and we lift you up above all tonight. Lord, we praise you. You are so good. You are so kind. You are so gracious. We just exalt your name and lift you up here tonight. Oh, Lord, thank you for the songs that have been sung. Thank you for the worship. Thank you for the church body participating tonight in glorifying you in song and lifting your name up. We just give you praise, Lord, for all that you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I'd like to direct your attention tonight to the book of Matthew, chapter 1. And we're going to begin with verse 18. And this is a passage that's often read at Christmas because it's part of the Christmas story. But I want to read it tonight as a jumping off point for my message this evening. So would you look at that with me? It will be on the screen. So if you'd like to follow, that would be great. If you have your Bible in your hand, please turn and follow along as I read here this evening. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Lord Jesus, honor the preaching of your word tonight and the reading of your word, and speak to us in the next few minutes here this evening, and may our hearts be drawn closer to you. And may our relationship with you tonight, may it become enriched by being here this evening. Fill this place with your glory. Let the anointing of your Holy Spirit be in the sanctuary tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. I'd like to direct your attention mainly to verse 21. The angel is talking to Joseph, and he's talking about Mary conceiving, and she will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus. I think that's significant, and we'll talk a little bit about that tonight. For he will do what? He will save his people He will save his people. Anybody saved here tonight in this house? He will save his people from their sins. And I've chosen this passage, I guess, for various reasons, and I think the Lord directed me in this way as well. But I think it's significant tonight that we understand what the writer is saying here and how it applies to us today. His name will be called Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. And I'll talk a little bit more about that a little bit later, because I think it's significant that we understand that when we get saved, he saves us from our sins. There is a deliverance that takes place. There is a transformation that should take place at conversion. And from that time on, there should be a growth process that we all get involved in, so that we don't stay just saved all of our life, but we grow in the knowledge and the admonition of the Lord, and we become everything that God wants us to become. And so I've dealt with this in my own heart and my mind quite a bit in the last few years, because I've seen somewhat of a trend of people coming to church and coming to an altar and praying, and then I don't see the transformation of life take place in their life. They get saved, as it were, and then they go right back into the same lifestyle and living the same way before they got saved. I just want to tell you tonight, if that's where you are, the good news is Jesus came to save you from your sins and deliver you and make you whole so that you can be everything that he wants you to be. Can we okay that tonight by saying praise the Lord? I think that's where we need to be going this evening. Let's notice the word Jesus. Jesus is a familiar word in the New Testament. In fact, it's used 979 times in the New Testament. Now, in the Old Testament, there was a word that was equivalent to the name Jesus, and that was Joshua. And in the Old Testament Hebrew, you'll find a Joshua, which is somewhat equivalent to the term Jesus. Jesus simply means Savior. Jesus means God who is our salvation. And when you know Jesus, you should know salvation. Amen. I want you to know tonight that he is the light of the world. He is the bread of life. When I need light to lighten my pathway, he is that light. And when I'm walking through dark areas, I want you to know he is the light that gives me direction. And when I am hungry for spiritual things, he is the one that feeds me, and I can get fat on the Lord. And I understand that fat is also good in the Lord, because the Bible says that they that be fat upon the earth shall eat and worship. So don't talk to me about being overweight, okay? Just keep that to yourself, because I'm eating of the Lord. I'm eating at his table, and my body needs to slim down a little bit, but I want to have a very fat soul when it comes to my relationship with the Lord, because I want to eat from his table. And when I eat from his table, I always leave full. Amen. He is everything to us tonight. He is our Savior. He is our salvation. Jesus is the one tonight who paid the price so that we could live. In fact, in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Can I tell you tonight that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? If you want to make it to heaven, Jesus is the only way to make it. Buddha's not going to help you. Mohammed is not going to help you. Islam is not going to help you. But I tell you tonight, if you want to make it to heaven, there's only one name that you can call on. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Thank God for that tonight. I'm glad it said whosoever. because it includes all people, all races, all tribes, all kindred, all tongue. It doesn't matter who you are, where you've come from, what your background may be. Jesus died on the cross so that your sins might be forgiven and so that he might be your Savior. Amen. And I want you to know tonight, I am so thankful that many years ago in a little old Church of God in the state of Virginia, during a revival service, a young man, 16 years old, came down to an altar of prayer, and I repented of my sins, and I asked him to come into my life, and I just want to report tonight that he has been with me from that day until this day, and I know that he will go all the way with me, for he has promised he will never leave me nor forsake me. He'll go with me all the way. I'm not worried tonight about what the devil may throw at me. I'm not worried about the times that we live in. I'm not worried about prophecies being fulfilled, and they are. Prophecies are being fulfilled every day about the coming of the Lord. I'm not worried about it at all. I'm not worried about the Antichrist. I'm not worried about the economy. I'm not worried about the money market. I know who I have my confidence in tonight, and I know that he is forever settled. And if I trust in him, he will always make a way for me. He will never let me down. He will never fail. And I'm going to put my trust in him until I hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, it says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "But God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." I don't understand that. I really don't. That sort of blows my understanding. How that God, who is creator, almighty, everlasting, God who is awesome, God who is undescribable, words don't really describe him, and we can add all of those adjectives, and we can speak all of the adjectives about who God is and titles of who God is, but it doesn't even begin to tell us really who God is. But God who is creator of all things, God who made this universe, God who took the dust of the air and breathed into man, and man became a living soul, God who sent his own son to the cross so that my sins could be forgiven. I don't understand all of that, but I sure do thank him tonight, and I praise him that he loved me enough that while I was still a sinner, he died for me and gave his life for me. I'm the redeemed of the Lord tonight. I'm a rich man, and I just don't know it all because I've never seen the riches of my heavenly Father. All the riches of heaven belong to him. God gives to us out of his abundance. God gives to us out of his riches, not my riches or your riches, but God gives to us out of his riches. Heaped up, pressed down, and running over, does he give to us. Amen. And what a great God we serve. What a wonderful Savior we have. What a wonderful Lord we have tonight. Oh, Jesus tonight is a name to be celebrated. And Timothy, Paul writing to Timothy, calls him our mediator. A mediator is someone that pleads your cause. He pleads your cause. And let me just give you a simple illustration so that we can understand somewhat what this is making reference to. We all understand the Word of God. We like to quote the Word of God, don't we? If you don't, you need to, because the Word of God is what's going to help you make it through. You can jump up when the devil gets on your case. You can jump up and say, "Oh, but Pastor Reed said on Sunday, you know, or I heard my favorite television preacher Sunday, and he said so and so and so." That doesn't strike any fear in the heart of the enemy. But when the enemy comes in like a flood and you put your feet on the ground and you dig your heels in and you're determined the enemy will not win, he will not overcome, he will not pull you down, and you begin to quote the word of the Lord and you say to the enemy, the Lord's word says that God will not put any more on me than I'm able to stand, but with every temptation he will also make a way of escape. And you begin to quote the word of God. All of a sudden, God, who is in heaven, and Jesus, who is there at his right hand, hears your prayer. And Jesus, who is our mediator, turns to the Father and says to the Father, I want you to know, Father, they're quoting your word, and your word is forever settled, and heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will be established forever. And Lord, Father, they're quoting your word, so your word has to have an effect. So send an angel, send the Holy Ghost down to help them make it through the difficult trial in their life. And God sends the Holy Spirit. That's what a mediator does. Jesus is our mediator. When you get down and out and you don't think you can make it and you've done everything you know to do, just get down on your knees and cry out to Jesus and begin to quote the word. Lord, you said that you'll never leave me nor forsake me. Lord, you said that you'll make a way where there seemeth to be no way. And all of a sudden our mediator will go into the presence of God the Father and say, Father, they're calling on me on the basis of your word, and now dispatch an angel, dispatch the Holy Ghost, and have him to go and deliver them and set them free. And guess what? It happens. Amen. A mediator. Jesus is our mediator. Now, let's talk for just a minute about the fact that he saves. The angel said to Joseph, his name will be Jesus, and he will save his people. Saved. 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 Salvation. All synonymous and familiar words. But what does it mean when we talk about we're saved? And when we say, I like the old timers who say, I have old time salvation. Sonny, that's old time salvation will keep you. When you're running around up in those mountains of West Virginia, old time salvation pulled you out of the whiskey stills. Come on now. Old time salvation. And I want you to know tonight, salvation is just as real tonight as it was way back when. You see, I came a little bit from the old school, and I remember how it used to be in the good old days. And I don't want us to go back there, but I like to go back and remember some of those good old days when people would come to church and they'd pray through in the altar. And they'd get under conviction so strong through the singing and the preaching and the testimonies. They'd get under conviction so strong that they couldn't sit there any longer. And they'd jump up from their seat and run to an altar and begin to call out on God for God to have mercy on them and save them. They were sinners, lost, and on their way to hell. And I remember seeing so many come and that happen in their life. And Alan, when they walked away, there was no question about whether God had done something in their life. When they got up and walked away, you knew that night the Savior had come and had saved them from their sins and give them a newness of life. I like that. I think it's still just as real today as it always has been. God hasn't diminished in his power or in his ability, for he can do tonight what he's always done. There is nothing God cannot do. And I want you to know tonight, if you're in this house and you need to be saved, you're in the right place, because there's a God in heaven who's calling your name tonight. He knows where you live. He knows who you are. He knows what you're going through. And if you're lost tonight, he's on your trail. The Holy Ghost is on your trail every day of your life, trying to bring you to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Saved. Saved. I'm glad to report tonight that I'm saved. Now, I didn't say I was perfect. There's a big difference in being saved and being perfect. I would say that there's probably not anybody here tonight perfect. If you are, please meet me after church. I want to shake your hand because you're going to be the first one that I've ever met. Perfect. Nobody here tonight's perfect, but I'm saved. Papa, I'm saved. I'm not perfect, but I'm saved. You understand what I'm saying? I haven't become everything that God wants me to be. I'm still working on it, and He's still working on me. I still have a few rough edges. I still have some things that I have to take to the Lord and say, "Now, Lord, you've got to help me with this." There are some things in my life that get out of whack every once in a while. Every once in a while, my sanctification gets tried. Come on now, you know what I'm talking about. You live there too. Every once in a while, I have to find me a place of prayer and go back to an old rugged cross and say, "Lord, I did my best today to live for you, but I messed up. I just did something or said something or acted in a way or had an attitude that was unlike you. And today I just messed up, Lord, but I want you to forgive me." I want to tell you tonight, at the mercy seat of God, there is always mercy and forgiveness for all who will call on His name. You don't have to be perfect to go to heaven, but you have to be saved. I want to tell you tonight, if you're trying to be perfect, please stop. please stop trying to be perfect. Just every day get up and live for the Lord and do your best to live for Him and plead the blood when you're having trouble. Plead the blood for Jesus to come and help you and rescue you and help you over the hurdles that you're dealing with. And He'll do that. He will do that. But don't think that you've got to be perfect. Because there's nobody perfect. Well, there was only one man. And Rick, they crucified him. But you know what? That one man said one day, "If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me." And one day he was standing by the tomb of Lazarus, talking to the sisters. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days, and he stunk. He was stinking dead. He had reached that point where the body was beginning to decay. And they said, "Well, you don't want to open that tomb now because there's decay and there's an odor. Don't open that tomb." And they talked about that. And then one of the sisters said, "Well, I know at the last day he will live." Jesus said, "Don't you know I am the resurrection and the life? He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." I'm here tonight to declare to you, Jesus, my Savior, is my resurrection. And one day when he calls the trumpet sound, we will all go home to be with the Lord. Not because we're perfect, but because we're saved. You know, the old timers in Pentecost, it didn't matter if it was Church of God, Assembly of God, or Four Square Independent, didn't matter a whole lot. A lot of the old time preachers used to preach perfection. And they preached entire sanctification, which basically said when you get sanctified, all the root of sin is rooted out and you can't sin after that. And, you know, you get to that place in God where you're just entirely sanctified and the root of sin is gone. Boy, that's a hard one to swallow. Because I guess the interesting thing is that some of those old preachers that preach that way, there are stories about them running off with a piano player. Come on now. Now, if they were entirely sanctified and there was no root of carnality or fleshliness there, they wouldn't have done that. You know why they ran off with the piano player? Because flesh and lust got a hold of them. And it proved that what they were preaching was not entirely correct. And I just want you to know tonight that God is not looking for perfect people, Althea. He's looking for saved people. You don't have to be perfect. You don't even have to be able to quote the Bible from cover to cover. If that was true, I'd be lost right there. I mean, that because I can't quote too many scriptures anymore. And especially, Brian, give chapter and verse. I just have a hard time with that. And if that were the qualification, I probably wouldn't make it. But tonight, the qualification is to be saved. Jesus came to save his people from their sins. And tonight, I just want to report that I'm saved tonight. I'm on my way to heaven. Oh, I'm not everything that God wants me to be. I'm not perfect. I still have some things to learn, and I still have some adjustments to make in my life. But tonight, I just want to declare I'm saved and on my way to heaven. And if Jesus were to come tonight, I know that my sins are under his blood. Amen. I wish somebody tonight would rejoice with me. Amen. Hallelujah. My sins are under his blood. Now let me give you a simple the older I get, the less my voice wants to cooperate with me. Let me give you some simple definitions of being saved. Let's just say tonight that I'm in a burning building and I can't get out. My life is in danger, and if somebody doesn't help me, I'm going to burn up in this building. What do I need? I need a Savior. I need someone who will come and rescue me from the burning building. Right? You with me so far? That's not too complex. I need somebody to rescue me. Don, would you come? You'd leave me there, wouldn't you? See, Don would throw me a fire extinguisher. And he would say, get out the best way you can. But I don't need a fire extinguisher. I need a Savior. I need somebody who will brave the flames and beat their way in and get me by the hair of my head, what little bit I have left, and drag me out of that building and save me from the flames that want to destroy me. You understand what I'm saying? Well, another little illustration is, did somebody say something? Another little illustration on the same vein. Let's just say I'm floating down a river. And I don't swim. I never learned how to swim. My Virginia mother used to tell me all the time. I had an older brother, and we'd go out and play, and she'd always tell us now, don't go near the water. She didn't say water. She said water. Don't go near the water. Well, I didn't. I obeyed my mother. I was a good son. I listened to my mother's advice, and therefore I never learned how to swim. Now, here I am out in this river, and this river is raging, and I'm out in the middle of this river, and I know that I'm going to drown. What do I need? I need a Savior. I need someone to come by and rescue me and pull me out. Don't throw me no flotation device, Don. I don't want to continue to float in this river, because even with that, my life is still in danger. Even if I have a flotation device, I may not make it out. I need somebody to throw me a rope and pull me in, or jump in and pull me out and rescue me and save me. I want to tell you that one day, me and you, all of us here tonight, we were in a river and we were drowning in our own pride, in our own sins and our own wickedness and our own awayness away from God. But oh, that was a Savior who came by, who jumped into our situation and brought us out and saved us from hell and all the fires of hell. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior we have tonight. Jesus is my salvation. It was my sins that nailed him to the cross. But it was his grace that paid the price and the consequences for my sins, so that he could declare the price has been paid. The penalty for sin is satisfied. Therefore, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want to tell you tonight, you don't need anything else. You don't need any books. You don't need any tapes. You don't need any mentor necessarily. All you need tonight, if you need to be saved, call on the name of the Lord, and he is abundantly sufficient to save you and deliver you and make you whole. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Did you realize that only Christianity is the religion that offers salvation based on grace and not on works? Every other religion in this world is pretty much based on working your way in to whatever the final state may be. You work your way in. People come around and knock on your doors. You know who I'm talking about. They come knocking on your doors, and they have their books and their literature, and they want to leave it with you. And if you'll give them a chance, they'll come back to your home and do a Bible study. You know why they're out there knocking on doors? Because it is a salvation by works. They're trying to work their way into salvation. They're working their way into eternal life. They're working their way into what they think will be their eternity. But when you come to Jesus, you don't have to work your way in. It's by grace that you're saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is described as a mystery of God that is now revealed. Is a plan conceived before the foundations of the world. Salvation is a light of revelation to the Gentiles. Salvation is a transition from death to life. Salvation is a message, especially for sinners. Salvation is a gift of grace through faith, not of works. Salvation is that which will make you whole and will restore you in right relationship with God. Salvation is redemption. Salvation is reconciliation. Salvation is justification before God. I want you to know tonight, thank God for my salvation through Jesus Christ my Lord. Nicodemus was talking to Jesus on one occasion. You know the story. And Nicodemus wanted to know what he must do to have eternal life. And Jesus told him that he must be born again. Salvation is said to be a spiritual birth. Can I tell you tonight that salvation is not a natural birth? It is a spiritual thing. It is the Spirit of God coming down and bringing conviction on a lost sinner, and the sinner realizing that Jesus paid the price on Calvary. And in your desperation and in your cry out for mercy, you look to the cross, and Jesus has already shed his blood. You don't have to pay anything. You don't have to do anything. All you have to do is believe and receive him, and at that moment you're saved. And your sins are all washed away. Now let me talk a little bit tonight about the fact that when Jesus saves us, see, the angel said to Joseph, you call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. There's too many today that come to know the Lord, and I believe they have a genuine experience with him. You know, it's not hard to get saved. Salvation is not a hard thing. Are you with me tonight? Getting saved is not hard. It's easy. Pastor always says that on Sunday morning, it's easy as ABC. You know, that's the way he addresses it every Sunday morning. He talks to a congregation and he says salvation is like ABC. It's very simple. And I'm glad it's simple because I'm just a simple person. And sometimes I need things explained to me. But when I come to the Lord, I don't have to have an explanation. I already know that being saved is a very simple thing. And you don't have to have an education. Virginia and Brian are educated folks, and they have degrees, and Brian's written a couple of books and all of that. Pastor talked about that a few weeks ago. They're very educated people. There are other educated people in this congregation. They're teachers in our congregation who have gone to school and gotten their degree to be a teacher. And so they teach. They go to school every day, elementary, middle, high school, whatever. Some may even teach on a college level. I'm just saying there are people that are very educated. You don't have to be educated to a great degree to be saved. Are you listening to me tonight? You can be the most simple person in this world, and you may not have much education at all, or maybe you have no education like some of our forefathers had. My dad had a sixth grade education. My mom never finished high school. But I want to tell you tonight, they knew what it meant. When it meant to get saved, they knew how to get saved, and they were not greatly educated. What I'm saying to you tonight, you don't have to have an education to be saved. All you have to do is call on the name of the Lord, and He will save you and redeem you and set you free. Thank God. So it's not a complex issue, Alan. We don't have to read five books to understand how to get saved. Salvation, Althea, is simple. You just get off of your seat and get in an altar somewhere and call on the name of the Lord, and He will save you. That's how simple it is. But be sincere. Now, I want to tell you, if all you're doing is speaking words, you know, we pray with people the sinner's prayer. Lord Jesus, I know You died for me. I know You shed Your blood for me. And we have people, well, you know, repeat this prayer with me now. Jesus, I know You died for me. You shed Your blood so that I could be saved. Forgive me of my sins and come into my heart and save me. And those are the words that need to be said. But if you don't mean it, it's not going to work. Are you listening to me? It's like I wasn't going to do this, but I got to do it. Jane, here it comes. If what are y'all clapping for? Y'all want me to? if I got up every morning and told Jane I didn't love her, I'd be in a heap of trouble, first of all. You see? I'd be in trouble. But if I got up every morning and I said, Jane, oh, I love you so much. In the back of my mind, I'm saying, I can't stand you. You know, I'm just pretending. This is not reality. This is pretending. And if I got up every morning and I said, Jane, I love you, and I walked off, and in the back of my mind, I say, man, that's the meanest woman I've ever seen in my life. I don't love her at all. Lord, have mercy. What in the world am I going to do with her, Lord? I love you doesn't mean anything then, Rick. You see what I'm saying? When I told her almost 50 years ago that I loved her, I meant it. We've had our ups and downs and ins and outs, and we've had our discussions. You know what I mean? We've discussed things quite strongly at times, Roy, and, you know, like married people do. But in spite of everything, when it comes to the end of the day, I still love her. And for 49 years, I've loved her, and I try to tell her every day, she's the most beautiful thing that ever came into my life. And I believe that tonight. Was that good, Rick? Okay, just want to know if I'm doing okay. You see, but you can say to the Lord, Lord, save me. If you don't mean it, it doesn't mean anything. It's not going to work. All you're doing is saying some words with no meaning. But when you come honestly before the Lord and you mean what you're talking about and you know you're a sinner on your way to hell and you need a Savior and you call on the name of the Lord, He will save you. And it will work. But I see too many today coming and just doing the formality, walking away with no change taking place in their life. Salvation is a life-changing experience. It brings us into a place where old things pass away and all things become new. Salvation without change is not salvation. Because real heaven-sent, God-applied salvation will bring change to your life. Now, I must say to you tonight that sometimes change comes slowly. You can get saved and still have some baggage you need to get rid of. Are you listening to me tonight? You know, you can get saved and still have some things you need to deal with and bring back to the altar and pray through about. You see what I'm saying? My mama said, after I got saved, my mama said to other people, she said, I know Roger got saved because he quit talking ugly. I had a bad, bad vocabulary. And when I got saved, all of that left. You know why? Because salvation is change. It's about transformation. It's about becoming a new creature in Christ Jesus. The old you that used to be filled with sin and iniquity and abomination, the old you that used to be is no longer there or should not be any longer there. There should be a transformation in your life that brings forth change in the way you live. It's hard to get saved and go back and live in an adulterous relationship. It's hard to get saved and go back and still lie about everything that you deal with in life. It's hard to get saved and go back and be the person that you used to be because the Holy Ghost will bring conviction upon you and you know that you'll need to go back and pray through and get it under the blood of Jesus. Now I must say that change sometimes comes slowly in people's lives and when we get saved, a lot of times we have a lot of baggage. And the baggage that you have, you may not be able to get rid of it overnight. It may take some time for you to work through some things and get through it. Are you with me tonight? But please, let me say this to you. If you've been struggling with the same thing for 10 years, something's wrong somewhere. I believe you just need to go back to an altar somewhere and pray through and start all over and say, God, I messed up. I've been fooling around. I've been playing around. I haven't been serious about my relationship with you. And God, I want a fresh start. Let it start here tonight. Are you listening to me? If you're living the same way that you lived before you got saved, you need to go back and pray through. Is that straight enough? Is that honest enough tonight? No, don't fool around with God. Don't play around with God. You can't play around with Him. He knows who you are. He knows how you're living. He knows what you're doing. And if you're not following Him and living for Him, He knows all about it. You can't fool Him. People can fool me. And they do. You know, people say all the right words and do all the right things, and I think, boy, they're a good Christian. And then somewhere later on, I find out, man, you hear how they've been talking? Lord have mercy. That language, surely not Christian language. Too many come to Christ and then walk right back into the darkness that He's delivered them from. It'd be foolish for Don to rescue me out of a raging river. Where did Don go? Did the rapture take place and we all missed it? I don't know. It'd be foolish for Don to rescue me out of a raging river wherein I'm drowning and I will die. It would be foolish for Him to rescue me and then me jump up and jump back into the river again. Are you with me tonight? Wouldn't that be foolish? But that's the way some people do the Lord. They come to church, they get under conviction, the special song that sang touched their heart, and they felt the Holy Ghost conviction, and the pastor got up and preached, and the Holy Ghost took the Word of God and planted it in their heart, and they got saved. They felt good. They came to the altar. Oh, Lord, I want to be saved. But then when they walk out the door, they just jump right back into the same old life they've been living. You see what I'm saying? God wants you to grow in the knowledge and in your learning of Him. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4 says we should walk in newness of life. And Romans chapter 6 verse 14 it says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Now please don't come telling me, well, Brother Cash, I just can't help myself. This just has such a hold on me. I just can't shake this. I just can't get through this. Humbug! If you'll pray through about it and get on your knees and plead the blood, I want to tell you, God will deliver you from whatever you're dealing with. Sin shall not have dominion over you. And having been set free from sin, Romans 6 and 18. Galatians chapter 5 verse 16 says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's why you need the Holy Ghost. I didn't hear one amen here tonight. Are we still a Pentecostal church? Did we lose our Pentecostal identity somewhere from Sunday until now? I don't think so. I'm saying that if you're full of the Holy Ghost will help you to walk in the light as He is in the light. Amen. 2 Peter chapter, I'm about through. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 18 says, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grow. Don't stagnate. Don't stop along the way. Don't think you've got enough. Well, I've been going to church now for 2 years and I think I've got enough and I think I'll just sort of idle my time away and I won't pray as much as I used to and I won't read my Bible. Hey, I want to tell you that if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh and you will also grow in your relationship with the Lord. And when you stop growing, I want to tell you, saints of God, when you stop growing in the Lord, it's time for you to come back and pray through and get a hold of the Lord because He wants you to grow in His knowledge and grow in your relationship with Him. If Jesus doesn't mean more to you tonight than the night you got saved, something's wrong with your relationship. Woo! Aren't you glad I'm about through? And I'm going to finish with 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. All sin. Now, I want to tell you tonight, we all struggle with sin. We all struggle with sin. But Jesus has paid a price so that all the sin in your life can be forgiven and washed away. Doesn't mean you're perfect. You're going to have some failures along the way. You're going to slip up along the way. But I want to tell you, the ear of the Savior is always attuned to your voice. And all you have to do is call on his name, and his grace will be more than sufficient for you, regardless of where you're living. Would you stand with me tonight? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. His name shall be called Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for your word, and thank you for being with us this evening. Lord, we just pray that somehow tonight the word of the Lord will take lodging in the hearts and the minds of everybody that's here. Lord, we want to live right. We don't want to live a halfway life. We don't want to be half in and half out. We don't want to struggle all the time. We don't want to have to struggle with sin and lustfulness and deeds of the flesh. We don't want to have to struggle with those things all the time. But I know that, Lord, in you there is sufficiency so that your blood washes away all of our sins. And your blood breaks every chain that binds. Your blood sets us free tonight. And those that the Lord has set free are free indeed. And tonight we just thank you for your saving blood. I know we're running out of time. We have run out of time. But how many of you tonight, every head bowed, every eye closed, just as an expression of your prayer tonight? Pastor Cash, I know I need to be closer to the Lord than I am. I've got some things I'm struggling with, and I need to lay on the altar and pray through and get over. And I need prayer tonight. Would you just slip your hand up wherever you are? Nobody looking around. Many hands going up tonight. Thank God. Lord, you know every hand of, and you know every life that has been represented here tonight. And I pray that you will touch every life and draw them closer to you. Whatever they're struggling with, Lord, I pray that you will give them a breakthrough. I pray that the power of God will come into their life, the Holy Spirit will come into their life, and that you will help them to become and to be everything that you want them to be. And I ask this in the name of Jesus, my Lord, and amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. and again in the evening at 6 p.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.